Well, good morning. For those of you that don't know, my name is Whitney, and I have the privilege of reading the scripture this morning. We are in Acts 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then.
Nice job, Whitney. I got to say, as we start, I am so proud of Whitney. She's going to hate this, but just a year and a half ago, if I would have asked her to do the scripture reading, she would have been mortified to do it. And now, I didn't even ask her to do it. She volunteered to do it. So God is really moving in her life, not just that, but in so many ways in her leadership. So very thankful for that. God is moving in our church, in our community right now. And I do want to say two things. One, I thought Matt did a perfect job with the announcement, but just to reiterate that, you know, all the elders are in perfect unity in this next step. And I also just wanted to say something about Steve Spear. I love this man. I mean, I speak to Steve probably almost every single day of the week. God is really moving in his heart, doing amazing things. I trust him with my life. I think his leadership is just, the arrow is pointing straight upward. God is doing so much. So continue to pray for him, his family, his 75 kids, and I said 150 last week, it's going down. But just pray for their family. Pray for unity in our church in this next step, because it is a big next step, but it's so good. I think the enemy likes to try to twist things when there's good things going on, doesn't he? So continue to pray for unity in this next step. I'd love to pray once more for Steve, for Kayla, the church plant, our church, and then we'll continue in the message. Father, we do pray for that unity. You say in John 17, Jesus says one of his last prayers is just that we may be one. And I pray that this church plant, I pray that Grace Meadows themselves will be in lockstep together, unified as one as well. And I pray for each body as well too. Just work. God, I pray that the sacrifices will be so clear that Steve and Kayla will continue to prioritize their own hearts, their families' hearts, and then the ministry thereafter. Father, protect them from the enemy as they move forward. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, hey, as I said Wednesday, if you're a guest this morning, you came on a really good week because we're starting a new series called The Narrow Way. We're going to look at discipleship in Jesus' day and talk about whether this is still applicable to us today. And spoiler alert, it is still applicable to us today. And we're going to talk about, there's really three parts to discipleship in Jesus' day, and we're going to go through those in the weeks to come. But here today, we're going to take a whole step backwards and talk about what even is the good news anyway. You know, we talk about the good news, right? And Jesus comes proclaiming the good news. In fact, before he even calls his first disciples, he comes proclaiming this good news. So the question is, what is the good news? Well, it really has two parts to it. The kingdom of God and repentance. As we get started, before we define terms and go through how these are linked, what do you think about when you think about the kingdom of God? Take a second and think about that. What do you think about when you think about the term repentance? What comes to mind then? I think oftentimes it probably has more to do with eternity or heaven one day than right now. And certainly that is part of it. Eternity is part of the kingdom of God and repentance. But there's so much more to it than just that. What if I told you that we could have access to this good news now before we even leave this building today? What if I told you that the good news itself was about justification, yes, but also about regeneration in this life right now? What if I told you that there was so much more here than we even realized before about the good news? I think so many people live their lives robbed of the joy of life in the kingdom of God right now because we just wait on eternity one day instead of experiencing the good news today. Now, let's define terms before we move forward so we're on the same page. The kingdom of God is where God's will and God's ways reign supreme. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God basically more than anything else. See, we're born into our own little kingdoms. I was explaining this to my girls the other night. There's the kingdom of daddy, all right? There's the kingdom that they have of themselves. Even a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old has their own little kingdoms. And it's not such a bad thing until these kingdoms start to clash, which undoubtedly they will clash, right? For example, if we've got 4 little different kingdoms at play trying to have their own way in these little kingdoms, and there's 4 people, but there's 1 cookie left, what do you do at that point? Undoubtedly, if everybody is after their own way, it could get messy really quick. Lots of arguments. Dad will probably play the survival of the fittest card and say, I'm bigger than you, it's my cookie, I'm going to get it. So I'm telling on myself a little bit there. That's not too far from things that have happened before. But the problem is, you're just left with arguing and frustration. The best you could hope for in that scenario when you live in your own little kingdom is to win the cookie. That's it. That's as far as you can go. And so many people have lived their lives trying to grow their own little kingdom, and they end up so disappointed. Think about Alexander the Great, man. He conquers the entire known world, and he ends up, what, depressed. I mean, he's just like, really? This was what I set out for all this time, growing my own kingdom? Or how about King Solomon has access to anything he could ever want, all the wealth, all the entertainment, and he ends up saying, what, it's void of any meaning. Our own kingdoms that we're born into are so very weak, fragile, temporary, short-lived, and every kingdom of the past ends up angry, frustrated, worried, paranoid, like King Herod, man, just living in paranoia of that kingdom being taken over. And that's why the kingdom of God is such great news. It is God's kingdom where things like rest for our souls are, things like contentment, things like experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, that can only be found in God's kingdom. That's why when God comes, when Jesus comes to the earth and he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, he says, this is the good news, that we can ditch our little kingdom and go into his kingdom and experience the things that our heart and our soul were meant for. The kingdom of God offers so much more than just the cookie. I mean, so much more. Eternal things now in this life. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 say this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Now, what is the good news of God? He says, the time has come. He said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Or again, in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2, John the Baptist proclaims the good news. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God has come near. Or again, Jesus in Matthew 4, 17, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. See, there's that word repent that comes alongside of the kingdom of God. These two things in tandem is the good news for us. We can repent and align ourselves to God's ways, which is repentance. Now, we got to understand that repentance is the greatest invitation we'll ever be given. I mean, repentance at one time kind of helps us to enter into the kingdom of God. But even thereafter, if we want to fully experience the kingdom of God, we can continue to repent, which is to continue to align ourselves more and more and more with his ways. See, I can't say, in that cookie example, I can't say, girls, the cookie is always going to be mine, and have great relationship and peace and unity within the family. It doesn't work that way. We can't have it both ways. That's why the invitation is to repent, which is to say, I don't have to have it my way anymore. I can instead align myself with God's ways, and now I can experience the things I was made for. The invitation is to ditch our kingdoms, our ways, and embrace his, which comes only through repentance. I can't stress that point enough. It comes only through repentance. We can't just like the idea of the kingdom of God and yet fully experience the kingdom of God. We have to repent. The definition of repentance here that I have is repentance is the process of aligning and realigning ourselves to God's will and God's ways. That's the good news. That's the great invitation, is that we can continue to align and realign ourselves. And I say realign because it's not like once we've done it one time, we're good. We've got it. It's not how it works. It's continuing to say, I'm living in my ways. Let me seek after repentance, which is to align myself to God's ways over and over and over again. Now, let me say something else about repentance. Repentance gets a really bad rap in our culture today, doesn't it? I mean, the world thinks that it's about shame, when really it's about victory. It's about living in freedom. It's such a great invitation. We can't get this backwards. We have this exactly backwards in our culture today. There's so many areas that we have the invitation to say we're just, you know, burdened, weighed down, those sorts of things. And yet, the invitation is to say, let's just ditch our way and align ourselves to God's way. That's what Jesus comes proclaiming. The good news is that we can repent, align ourselves to God's ways and not our own. Now, can I say, most of us probably like the things of the kingdom of God, but we still like to live in our own kingdom. Is that fair to say? We want peace, and yet we hold on to unforgiveness. We say, God, I don't really want to forgive that person, but would you please provide peace in my life? And it doesn't work that way. A couple weeks ago, one of my girls, we were in the car, went through Chick-fil-A, and I said, hey, what do you want? And she said, I want a hamburger. And I said, they don't have hamburgers here. In fact, they got cows outside holding signs, eat more chicken is what they have. She said, but I really want a hamburger. And I said, I don't really know what to tell you. We're going to have to go somewhere else. And she said, why can't we get a hamburger here? And I said, they just don't have hamburgers. We're going to have to go somewhere else if you want a hamburger. That's what we're talking about here. So many of us want to live in our own little kingdoms, but peace isn't found in our kingdoms. We have to repent, which is to move, align ourselves to God's kingdom, and that's where those things like love, peace, joy, contentment, all those things are found. How often do we want God to provide something to us, but continue in our own way? And you might say this morning, well, there's not really much that I need to repent of. And first of all, I doubt that to be true. But second of all, repentance doesn't just mean that you're apologizing and changing course for something you did wrong. It's really an invitation for us to align ourselves to what is right in the matter. And aligning yourself with God's kingdom is always the right thing to do. I've seen so many times people say, I'm going to do things my way, living in my kingdom, but I want the things of the kingdom of God. It just doesn't work that way. Align yourself with repentance by forgiving that person, and then you can experience peace. That's how it works. Picture for a second. I'm not usually big on props, but it would have been good for me to have these this morning. But picture if I had up here like two boxes. This one over here is the kingdom of God and the things of the kingdom of God. And this one over here is our kingdom and the things of our kingdom. Oftentimes, what we want to do in our prayers is say, I'm going to live here, but if you could like move over some of the things from your kingdom and drop it into mine, that would be great, God. Thank you. That'd be awesome. But that's not the invitation Jesus gives us. The good news is repent, which is to move from this little box, this little pathetic temporary box, and instead align yourself to God's kingdom. That's where those things are found. And we've turned to many other things instead of repentance. You guys know I've spent 12 years in counseling, okay? So I am a big proponent of counseling. I think to learn concepts, to be able to have coping skills and make connections and those things, those are really good things. The problem is, Counseling can only be supplemental to repentance. It can't be in place of. And so many times today in our culture, we're making counseling out to be some kind of savior when it's just not. There's not enough counseling that you can have to make up for not ditching your own little kingdom. First, align yourself to God's ways, and then go ahead and seek counseling, seek therapy, all those great things. That's awesome. But first, we have to align ourselves to God's ways and have everything open-handed. Otherwise, we're just never going to get where we want to get to. I've seen so many people over the years, as I've done counseling, that have said, you know what, I can never forgive that person. It's off the table because I just can't do it. But help me to cope. Help me to live in peace. And you see the disconnect there? It just doesn't work like that. Repentance in that scenario is to align yourself with God's ways, which is to say, I will freely and fully forgive this person. That is, aligning yourself to the kingdom of God so that now you can experience that peace. Same with things like worry. Man, we play worry in our head over and over and over again. And we're like, it doesn't really matter that I just sit there and meditate there. But that's living in our kingdom. What God wants us to do is to align ourselves with his kingdom by intentionally worshiping so that we can't worry, because you can't worship and worry at the same time. So that's our repentance of aligning ourselves to God's kingdom so that we can experience the things of his kingdom. So important. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. He doesn't say, go ahead and hold tightly to your ways as you come to me. Just keep holding tightly to them. No, the invitation is to drop those things in your kingdom and embrace him. And not just embrace him, but also embrace his ways and his will for our lives. That is lining ourselves up with the kingdom of God. It sounds crazy today to say that somebody who has been victimized should repent. Why? Because we've allowed the culture to define what repentance is. But repentance is the invitation to align ourselves with God. Yes, you may have been victimized, but you can still align yourself to God's ways. That's repentance. That's an invitation. It's not just to duck our head and say, oh, I gotta repent like I did something bad. No, it's aligning ourselves to what is right and what is good and to live into the reality that God has for us. It's so important. So important. On the ASP youth mission trip, I came for a couple of days, and somehow or another, I got stuck kind of leading one of the groups in the morning, and it just didn't seem right. I think maybe Matt meant Walter Crouch, not Dallas Crouch. So we're over there doing a front porch, and everything would have gone much better if I would have just said from the jump, guys, I don't know what I'm doing. Let's call somebody. But I didn't. Because sometimes in leadership, you're tempted to make it look like you know what you're doing when you really don't. So we're doing this front porch, and I make a couple cuts, and they're not really that great, but it's okay because we can, like, put some trim around the base, and we can cover it up, and that's okay. And we don't have the right tools here, but that's okay. We'll just, like, makeshift things, and we'll just, you know, do this, and if we mess it up, that's okay. We got extra lumber. We'll just keep going at it, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just sweating at this point. I mean, I'm stressing. I can sense that everybody around me is stressing. Can you guys testify maybe a little bit? Yeah, okay. But then there was this glorious moment in time where professionals of construction, Ron and Danny, come driving up in their truck. And all I had to do at that point was to say, hey, you guys want to take over? You guys want to take this project at this point in time? That's the invitation that we have. But so often, the response is, actually, you know what? I got it. I got a chip on my shoulder. I want to prove myself that I got what it takes. I can really do this. And at the same time, if you wouldn't mind to just give me your tools or give me the peace that you would provide if you were in charge, that's kind of the deal a lot of times in our prayers, isn't it? We want God to just perform osmosis and just change everything before we even just align ourselves to him. Everything on that job site got so much better when I just said, yeah, here you go. Take the reins. Whatever it is you desire for me to do in this, I'll do it. Now, not long after that, I left, but I figured they had it pretty well under control, but it just doesn't work that way. The only thing, really the only thing we need to do is leave our kingdom and seek His. That is the good news. Everything else will take shape from there. Jesus says this in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. He says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." He's saying, look, you don't have to worry about a thing. Just align yourself with the right kingdom, and everything you need will be there. Often we try to figure out the results on our own, when in reality we just need to align ourselves with the right kingdom. So, let's review here real quick. The kingdom of God is here now among us. It's not just eternity one day, it's now. And it's the place where God's will and God's ways reign supreme. The question really is, have you initially accepted this invitation of repentance to join into His kingdom? And since that time, have you continued to accept the invitation of this good news to continue to align ourselves and realign ourselves to Him in our everyday lives and then consequently experience the things of the kingdom? If not, it is a great time to do that here this morning. I would contend that out of all the things that Grace Meadows Church could be marked by, I would contend that repentance is at the very top of the list. Let us be a people who over and over and over align ourselves to God's ways. That is the good news that Jesus came proclaiming to us. Now, I started off by telling you about the cookie example, and I was talking to my girls about kingdoms and aligning yourself to God's kingdom. Well, when I get to the end of it, my five-year-old asks, "All right, yeah, Dad, that's great, but in the end, who gets the cookie?" And she's five. I mean, she point-blank missed the whole thing, right, by asking that question, but she's five. If you're still concerned about who gets what, you've missed it. We can get all the cookies in the world. We can be like Alexander the Great and get everything that we ever wanted for our kingdom, and it still will never be enough. The invitation, that's why Jesus comes, and the first thing, man, as soon as He starts His ministry, He says, here's the good news. The kingdom of God is here. You don't have to run your own little kingdom anymore. Repent, align yourself to this new kingdom, and everything else will take care of itself. The question is, will you repent and align yourself to God this morning? Will we hold on to needing things our way, or hold on to our unforgiveness, or hold on to our worry, or will we accept the good news that we can trade all that for His kingdom here today? Because there will never be better news than that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word. We thank You that You do come proclaiming good news. All the kingdoms of the past couldn't say that when their kingdoms were near, it was good news. But You can. And I pray here this morning that if there are things that have been held on to for maybe even decades, I pray for the conviction to just say, I'm done with that. I'm going to align myself to God's ways here this morning. What an incredible invitation we have. And we're so thankful that You alone give that invitation. Father, during this time of worship, I pray that Your name will be praised and glorified the way that it deserves to be. And we love You very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let's worship.